You are listening to Wells Tech episode 593, recorded on March 19th, 2019. Seesaw. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network supported by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we are joined by Stephanie Cron and Kurt Gosdeck to talk about one of their favorite tools, a student-driven portfolio application called Seesaw. We are also talking about an app that may make it possible for you to create your own mobile app. Sally's really excited about it. You might be too. All that and more coming right up. Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 593. We're recording this on March 19th in the year of our Lord 2019. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper, despite all the technical difficulties this morning.
Good morning, Martin. I have an idea for you. I don't know if people know this or not, but our creative show talents are solely the responsibility of Mr. Martin Spriggs, and he show talents. Is that what I said? Titles.
Show and, titles.
Yeah, and he does a great job with that. I'm always excited and anticipating what he's going to name the shows
boy.
Each week.
She's raising the bar pretty high this week.
I'm going to trump you and say I have a great idea. It should be named The One That Almost Wasn't.
Wasn't.
Because this is about 20 minutes later than we normally start, because that's how long it took us to figure out technology, people. We're technologists, and we couldn't make it happen. So
That's a really great way to build up the confidence of our listeners and our ability to manage technology. I guess that's a lesson learned for everybody, that technology can always still defeat you if it
wants
correct. To.
I always said when I'm presenting that my second best skill is tap dancing, because you have to be able to keep going when the technology fails, and I'm sure lots of people
can relate to that. That's a good show topic in and of itself. What happens when technology fails? What's plan B, C, and D? And that's getting harder and harder as a lot of congregations are going all digital, and the worship service is really dependent on technology working. That's a great question. Speaking of technology, we probably ought to talk about a little bit. This week we wanted to focus on, we normally have an ed tech show once a month, and that is next week, but it kind of has crept into this week because we want to, as much as we can, provide a little taste for our listeners of this summer's Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit. So we've been trying to get some guests on, some guest people to interview about their particular topic. And I'm really excited to play the one we recorded for this week with Stephanie Cron, from, I think, third grade teacher at West De Pere School District, and Kurt Gosdeck, who we've had on this show before a number of times, fourth grade teacher and tech director at St. Mark in Green Bay, talking about Seesaw, which I didn't know much about. Sally, how about you?
Yeah, it wasn't a tool that I'd used before, but they're going to be presenting at our conference this summer on using it for student-driven portfolios. And I'm telling you, I'm fired up after talking with them. I think
they are
fired up,
for sure,
about what they have to share.
Right. So let's take a listen to that interview.
Joining us today on Wells Tech, not one, but two great interviewees. We are excited to have Stephanie Cron and Kurt Gosdeck with us. They are both up in the Green Bay area. Stephanie is a third grade teacher for West De Pere School District and a Seesaw ambassador. Kurt teaches at St. Mark in Green Bay, fourth grade, as well as tech coordinator. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. We're going to talk a bit about Seesaw, but before we do that, why don't you introduce yourselves for our audience?
All right. Well, like you said, I am Stephanie Cran. I have been teaching now for 13 years. I taught 1 year fifth grade in Watertown, Wisconsin, and the past 12, I've been in West De Pere teaching third grade. I do a variety of things in our district, but technology has always been a focus for me. So I went back and got my instructional technology coordinator license after my master's, and that's something that I'm very passionate about using in our district. I also have a first grade son and 4K daughter who are both at St. Mark. So I'm very connected to this school as well. And my husband is a physical therapist, and so we keep very busy doing all kinds of things with our kids and all kinds of things in the Green Bay area.
Awesome. How about you, Kurt?
Well, this is my fourth year at St. Mark, and I've been teaching for over a quarter of a century. So if you say 25 years, 26 years, it sounds like a long time. So although a quarter of a century sounds longer. So, I teach fourth grade and am the technology coordinator, which at St. Mark being a large school, that keeps me hopping for, two jobs, I guess. I'm married to my wife, Sarah, who works as a children's librarian in the Brown County system here. And then I have two daughters, Jordan, who is a sophomore at Fox Valley Lutheran, and Autumn, who is a freshman at Fox Valley Lutheran. So we have a new driver, so Jordan's been driving for a couple months, and now we've recently been introduced to the world of boyfriends. So so my wife and I are on the next stage of managing that aspect of life. So
good thing you've got that quarter century behind you of experience. So you're going to bring that to the table.
Yes. So we have some conversations about what's going to happen or not happen. So luckily I have two.
And it won't go anything like that. So
luckily I have two pretty good kids. So if they continue to listen, good. We're okay.
Awesome. Yeah, you have to do what you can do and then put it in the Lord's hands, and that's the best you can do. Well, one thing that we're excited to hear about today is a product that I really don't have any familiarity with, and that is something called Seesaw, Digital Education Platform, maybe we can call it. Tell me and our audience a little bit about this, because this is going to be the subject of your talk at our Wells EdTech Leap Conference in June. Both of you are going to tackle that together, tag team it, maybe seesaw back and forth, huh?
There you go.
And, good pun.
We'll see how many of those we can weave into our presentation.
That's right. Can you give us an idea of what students can do with Seesaw or what teachers can do with it?
There is a lot that you can do with Seesaw. I've been using it ever since it came out, which was quite a few years ago already. And at that time, it was free. And it still is. If you want to just use it in your classroom, it's a completely free platform, which is huge in education because a lot of times things start out as free and then become paid. So it's really nice that it has stayed free. There is a paid option if you want to become Seesaw for Schools, which our school did for the first time this year, now that we've had enough teachers on board using it. But it's one where I would have paid myself for it because I like it that much. And I've been using it for so many years and it has so many things. So basically, it can be used from kindergarten, pre-K, all the way up through the ranks of the grades, which is something that's really nice because not all apps or platforms can say that. So it's something where kids can take a quick snapshot of their work. There's picture capability. If you're on an iPad, if you're on a Chromebook, it doesn't matter. So it's great for them to quick take a snapshot. We do it when we're growing plants and we monitor the growth of our plants, or they finish their writing and they want to take a piece of it. Picture of it to show their writing. You can take videos with it, so we use that a lot with science and as we're monitoring how our science experiment might be going. Kids will also take videos as they're explaining how to do a math problem, explaining their thinking. They can do recording, so we use that a lot to monitor their fluency with reading. They can explain their work, like I said before. They can do a lot with just their own recording of the voice. It works with Google-type platforms, so if you finished a Google document, a presentation, an image, you can link it to that. You can link to other websites. So that works really well. And then there's an area in it where you can just type yourself or write a note, which is great for the younger kids. Some of our kindergarten and first grade teachers use it just to have the kids write their name. And then they do that multiple times throughout the year. And then the kids can see how they're growing. And that's a really neat thing for them as well. Another thing we do is there's an activity portion of Seesaw that you can use. And teachers can create activities and then bump those out to their students. And those are a little bit more focused. And then the students can reply to those activities. And it can be something like setting a goal for their work. Or we just did this one in my classroom this week. They had to take a picture from their book. We were doing character traits. And they had to find evidence where their character was showing a character trait and underline it. And they can do all that just right on the photograph. So they snapped a photograph. They underlined it. They typed what their evidence was. They could record their thinking if they wanted to. And then they save it. And the one thing that we've loved all these years is it's in a closed environment, so the only people that can see it are our class, and then the parents can see it. So just the parents can see just their child's work, and you can add as many family members as you would need. And it's great because the parents can see what their kids are doing, and they can leave feedback. It's great for practicing digital citizenship because kids can leave feedback on each other's, and they can learn how to appropriately respond to each other as they're looking at each other's work. And it's just been a really great homeschool tool for everyone to stay connected with what's going on.
So with that capability of assigning things, is it somewhat of a learning management system, or can you use it inside of a learning management system like Google Classroom?
I would say it can be used with Google Classroom, or it can be used on its own. Google Classroom, I would say, is a little bit more teacher-driven with assignments. And if you're going to be doing the work in Google Documents or Google Presentations, that's better to be done in a Google Classroom and within your Google Drive. Seesaw works better for when you're finished and you want a place to upload your final work. Then you would take it from your Google Drive or from what it was assigned to in Google Classroom and then move it over to Seesaw. And that's where you can get final feedback or that type of a thing. If you want more working feedback or as you're working in the document, Google Classroom would be a better avenue for that. But in terms of younger kids who might not be able to handle Google Classroom, then Seesaw might be a better platform for them to try. The activities don't necessarily have as much creativity as what you could do with Google. It's the capabilities of what you can do in Seesaw aren't quite as what you can do in Google. And so I guess they're different and they can work side by side, but I wouldn't say you would need to pick one or the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're the Seesaw is more of an individual platform. You can't link to Google Classroom with it yet, but you can post your link. And with my fourth grade students, obviously they're at that age where they don't have any trouble. I just say, hey, go to the Seesaw app, and I posted an activity, and they go and do it. There's no grading integration with it, but you can, as a teacher, leave feedback, type feedback, or even speak feedback for them. So that kind of assessment thing has to be done individually as a teacher and then put into the learning management itself.
What platforms, Kurt, does this run on? You mentioned it, you called it an app. Is it a Chrome app, or does it live on an iPad as well? Or how do the students gain access to it?
Well, for us here, we just got a cart of iPads this year, so I put the Seesaw app on it, and they have to log on. But for most part, for the they just use it with their Chromebook. So there's a Chromebook app. You can also go, as a teacher, I have a desktop, so I go right and log right into it on a desktop. So it's kind of a universal online tool. You can use it with your phone, too.
Yep. I use it on my phone as the teacher. Sometimes I'll snap photographs, and I can upload them to the class as a teacher, and I use that basically as a daily newsletter with my families. But the kids, the Chromebook app had some glitches. It wasn't working perfectly, so most of our kids just go to it through the browser. It's come a long way. The iPad app works great, but you can use a variety of ways to sign on. Like our younger students use a QR code to get on because most of our younger students use iPads in our building. And so they go to their Seesaw class, they scan the QR code, and then they're in. And so they know how to log on that way. When you're on the Chromebook, you just click sign in with Google and it automatically takes your information from the Chromebook and puts you into your class.
And then parents, interested parties, what's the privacy piece of this? You know, how do they have to log in to see what their kids are doing, grandkids are doing? How do you spread this and how do you protect them?
Yeah, so there is an app that the parents can get, and we get a letter from Seesaw. It's right linked into your account that you send home to the families, and they have either a QR code or the information to just get to their student. And so I can see exactly who is linked with which students, and then they are only able to see their child's work, or if I share something with the whole class, then they can see it. So we've had a lot of snow days, and I'll say something like, oh, the lunch choice is different for tomorrow because you haven't had school for 3 days. That they can see because I've shown it to the whole class. Otherwise, when their child posts work, they can only see their child's work. And you can link as many family members if you need for households, or you could have grandparents, like you said, that want to see what's going on. But they get a letter specifically for their child, and there is an app that they put in. And then, just like most social media, a notification pops up that they can see that there's something there to be looked at.
So the term you use for your session at EdTech Lead is that you're going to be looking at student portfolios with Seesaw. That's pretty much what you've been describing. What kind of reaction have you guys both been using this with parents, and what do the students and parents think about this method of showing work?
Well, I'll start off as the Seesaw beginner or novice. As you guys well know, I use a lot of different technologies in my room, and I've just started to use Seesaw on a regular basis this year. Whenever I have an assignment, there's usually some pretty good enthusiasm about it. And I haven't specifically talked to parents, but the one thing that they do say is they do appreciate being able to see the work, you know, in real time. So some parents might get distracted at their workplace because a notification pops up and they want to see what their child's doing. So in that aspect, having that, you know, instant notification is good. And, you know, for the most part, parents are going to respond with positive comments to their child, at least online. And, you know, but they're able to evaluate. And sometimes you look for that parent feedback, like, hey, you know, let your child know the good and the bad of what this assignment was. So yeah, I think overall, from the novice viewpoint, I try to use it once or twice every 2 weeks, depending on what my teaching curriculum is that week. So I have a long way to go, which is why I'm hoping to go and observe Stephanie before the end of the
year.
Yeah,
we go a few weeks longer than they do at St. Mark, so he can come in and watch. And I've been using it for years. Like I said, it was free when I started using it, but I would have paid myself because I've liked it that much. Our parents love it. They absolutely check it. They look for it. It is a huge savings on time for me as a teacher. I used to spend so much time typing up newsletters and all of this. And this, like Kurt said, I can show in real time what's happening in our classroom. And half the time, the newsletters didn't make it home anyway, that piece of paper. So this is a way for me to show them what's happening in the classroom or explain things. Hey, there's a math game coming home today. Look for it. Hey, we just started this unit. You know, practice this with your child. So I can give those type of announcements outside of the portfolio piece. In terms of the portfolio, it's great because you can actually create folders in Seesaw, so the kids' work becomes organized. Like, this is all of their writing work. This is all of their math work. So it's easy to see their growth throughout the year. And with the younger kids, like I said, it might be things like writing a sentence or printing their name. As it gets older, how did they do with explaining math problems as they went throughout the year? Were they able to give more text evidence as they were talking about their stories? You know, there's a lot of variety of things that you can look at. And then at the end of the year, parents have an option to save their child's work as a zip file. So they're able to hang on to their work if they want to see it year to year. Our school does now do Seesaw for Schools, which is the first year for that. And so their work will actually stay with them year to year. And the person who does all of the scheduling for the kids will move them to their next class, which is the first time we've had that. So that will be neat to see that they can actually reflect on previous years and see how they're growing in their different items. But from a parent standpoint, our parents absolutely love it. I think they would be very sad if it went away. And we've had more and more teachers use it every single year to the point where our school was willing to pay for it. It definitely is something. In a couple years ago, I did survey my parents because I used a variety of platforms, Remind and a couple of other ones, and Seesaw was the glowing one that, nope, you need to keep that. That one you cannot take away.
Sounds like it's been a real blessing for you guys. One last question. Talk to us a little bit about the session that you're going to be leading at our conference this summer in the Dells. Are people going to get hands-on with the tool? Are you just going to give a high-level overview? Are they going to kind of get their feet wet and maybe get started? How do you envision it going?
Basically, we'll share the highlights of Seesaw and the capabilities, kind of like I spoke a little bit about earlier today, you know, what you can do with it, the different platforms you can use it on, what you would need to get started. Seesaw does have a great YouTube channel and other learning tools that they provide if someone wanted to go deeper into it. People who are attending will be able to take a look at it and get it started. The only hang up with that is you do need to have your students that you can enter into a class. And so if they do not have their class list at that point, that would be something that they would need to do later to set up their class and get that part ready. But getting started and learning the capabilities is something that they would be able to have after that session and then go home and try it out with their class, hopefully, and get on board and love it as much as I do.
Yes, you can definitely tell that Stephanie has a passion for this topic. So
that's why I'm here.
Well, if it's done that much good for her.
It has. It's been, we use it every single day. If I'm not sending a post, then my students are on it every day. And it's been so quick and easy that that's why we love it. If it was something that was very laborious and was not as much, it wasn't worth it for the amount of time that you would spend doing it, I would not love it. And I like Kurt, try a lot of different things, and I've used instructional technology my whole career in trying different things, and this is definitely one that you get a lot of bang for your buck.
And I would add that,
that's awesome.
If there are, I know one of the things in our Wells schools is that the primary teachers are always kind of looking for something that they can use with the, you know, the K through 2-3 students, and this would be it. It's pretty simple to use if they have the, you know, the technology available with the Chromebooks or iPads. And you know, for some of our teachers who may not be as experienced in technology, once you get it set up and you understand it, it's really pretty easy to, you know, move forward with. And as Stephanie said, there is a ton of help and support videos and things that you can read. If I don't understand something, that's what I go to, and it's really well done. So the, you know, some platforms there isn't that help center, but Seesaw definitely has an excellent one.
Very good. Well, I think many of our listeners will be excited to sign up for your session at EdTech Lead. So looking forward to meeting you in person there. And we thank you very much for the time you spent with us today.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. See you this summer.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks, Kurt, for the time you took, and I'm sure a busy school year. Exciting product, and I'm sure going to be an exciting presentation.
Yeah, I think teachers will have a lot to walk away with from this session, and it sounds like it's not rocket science, but learning from Stephanie, especially the ambassador for Seesaw, will be a great way to get you started with the tool.
Right. No shortage of energy in that presentation, I'm sure. So, which is probably a good segue to talk a little bit about some of the things that people can expect. We are in the midst of registration for the summit. It's going well, but we can always use more people to sign up. And the early bird discount ends in May, so you only have a few weeks, so a month or so left. But the challenge is a lot of these workshops may be filling up. Certainly the popular ones may fill up before you get a chance to sign up. So don't delay. Sally, what things stand out to you as you look at the lineup for the summit?
Well, you know, Martin, we have done a lot of interviews around presentations that are happening that are tech-focused, because this is a technology podcast. But there are a lot of other facets besides the technology and education technology tracks that are happening at the conference. We have 80-plus speakers coming to share their knowledge with those that attend. And that, to me, just blows me away. That's a lot of people that are bringing a lot of great content. And it covers six tracks, including early childhood and education, but also leadership and ministry. So very exciting ways you can develop your professional skills by attending the conference. And maybe you want to just focus. Maybe you're all in on educational technology and you're going to just live in that track. Or maybe you're going to get a sprinkling from all the different tracks, because there's just different options to go with. And 10 different workshop settings for you to pick from. So you're going to walk away with a lot of knowledge.
I'm looking at just the tech. I'm going to look at a couple tracks here, but if you go to the website, you can look at them by track, which is really helpful. And I'm just looking at the technology track, and we've talked to some of these people already. But there are, I think there's just a wide variety for people with a lot of different needs. You know, if they're a technology director, or they're a teacher, or they're you know, a church leader or a pastor, there's a lot of stuff from social networks to building websites to doing videos, professional looking videos, to E-rate funding, to curricular offerings, and Google focus, a lot of different things that I think stand out. We talked to Gary Locklear a while back about the myth of neutral technology. Just I think it's going to be a great conversation about how you should think about technology from a Lutheran perspective, and maybe that might dictate some of the other things that you're doing. So I think there's a lot to pick from in just that one track.
Yeah, definitely. And if you look at the parallel educational technology track, there's a lot of great stuff there as well. Formative assessments using technology. That's something all teachers need to be paying attention to and need to work into their classroom. Drew Willems is going to be there with a fun one. Virtual reality comes to the classroom, and he's got some VR goggles. And that should be a very interesting experience, especially if you haven't done virtual reality stuff. And maybe just to mention that we have pre-conference offerings as well. These are like full-day sessions. We spoke recently with Rachel Pearson, who's doing a Google certification boot camp. So, you know, you can get all kinds of goodness at this conference.
And we should talk a little bit about the venue. We thought long and hard about the different places we could have this. We talked about maybe having it here in the Milwaukee area. We talked about maybe a more distant location, more exotic location, and finally settled on a place that's super family friendly, and that's the Dells. It's a way to get out of Milwaukee if you're in the Milwaukee area. It's, you know, a couple hour drive out there, but it's easy to get, fairly easy to get to from a lot of our congregations by driving, and it can really be a nice destination for the family. Although we don't have specific things dedicated to the family, I think it'd be easy to kind of craft a family agenda and make a really nice week of it.
Yeah, definitely. Wednesday night is open on the schedule for meetups or family time or whatever you want to use that open slot for. But besides that, we have a lot of fun things planned for conference attendees, including something I'm really excited about, an Ignite event. This is something we did at Wells Tech Conference 2015, and it was just a blast. We learned so much from attendees who chose to share their ministry experience in a short presentation. And we actually are looking for those that have signed up or plan to sign up to be part of our Ignite event. And we have a little incentive for those that are presenting. There will be a giveaway to one person of a Kindle Paperwhite reader. So nice little tech prize for someone who does presentations at the Ignite event.
Yep, that's always a fun thing. Really enjoyed it at our Wells Tech Conference in 2015. Sal, you should probably remind everybody before we leave this topic of the giveaway, the Refer a Friend sweepstakes that is available, because that's ending at the end of the month.
That's right. It ends March 31st, Martin, and we are giving away a free night at the Kalahari Resort. Unfortunately, it's not for any of the nights of our conference, but you know, there are definite blackout dates and things associated. But if you're close enough to come back to the Kalahari, it's a great way to have one more night at the Kalahari with water park passes and all that goes along with that. So that's great. And we're also giving away a $25 Amazon gift card. And so we'll include a link in the show notes to the giveaway. And basically all you need to do is sign up, and you can sign up once a day. But the kicker is, if you share it, there's a link that'll be provided at the end of your sign up. If you share it and people sign up through your link, you get two more entries for each person who signs up through your link. So really great odds of winning one of those great prizes, especially if you're into sharing, which is our goal. We want to make more and more people aware of the Wells Education, Technology, and Leadership Summit.
Yep. And even if you can't go to the conference, you can still enter your name, right?
Right. And you can still share the good news about it as well.
Yep. That's the whole point. So good stuff. Again, the website, wellsedtechlead.com, is the place to go. You can kind of stay up to date on the conference, some of the things that we push out through an email list. You can see all of the schedules there, all of the available workshops, pre-conference workshops, et cetera, et cetera. So the information is all there. So please take a look, and please join us. I'm looking forward to all the people that can come out and get to see some of the Wells Tech family as well.
Excellent.
All right. We're going to talk, we're going to return to the topic of the conference a little bit later in the show. But for now, let's move to news and tech.
News and tech. And I think it was probably a pretty rough day for Facebook about midweek last week when they had an outage that affected a lot of Facebook users around the world. So it wasn't just North America, but Europe and South America were affected as well. And it seemed to be a fairly long outage, pretty much from about noontime through the end of the day, about 14 hours long. And so, you know, you could get to Facebook, but things were really slow. And when you tried to add anything, images wouldn't post. It was very confusing. It seemed like it would post and then it wouldn't be there and things like that. And it wasn't just affecting Facebook. It was also their other popular social networks, Instagram and WhatsApp, that are that are owned. Oh, and Messenger as well had trouble. So a sad day for Facebook. And I would say I thought it was worth bringing up because I'm just wondering if others were affected. I had a friend tell me that they knew of someone that always posted their sales on Facebook with lots of photos and things like that. So e-commerce type stuff, driving people to their website on Wednesdays each week. And this outage was last Wednesday, and that everyone was complaining because they couldn't get to the sales and things like that. So this is just kind of an example of how much we depend on these social networks now, and some people depend on them for their businesses, et cetera. So I thought it was just an interesting thing, the backlash and the frustration that happened. And the ultimate irony, Facebook went to Twitter to announce that they were working on solving the problem. Just a little interesting news.
Yep, you have to kind of, and that maybe harkens back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, that what happens when technology fails. I don't know what this says about me, but I didn't notice anything that day. But I know a lot of people and some of our ministries use WhatsApp heavily. You know, it's not as popular in the States, but those people who do international ministry, that's how they communicate. And when that's down, then ministry doesn't happen. So Messenger the same way. So just kind of keep that in mind and recognize that that's going to be part of the thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right, Sally, what's going on in Wells now?
Well, there's a new radio station to listen to with Lenten and Easter music. So Wells, I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but we run a streaming radio service, and it's populated with Wells artist music. So always nice to tune in, maybe have it playing in the background in your office or whatever during the day. And they do a cyclical church year focused radio station as part of the mix, and they've just activated the Lenten and Easter radio station, and so we will have a link in our show notes if you want to tune in and give it a listen.
Yep, you can listen to it on the web, on mobile, a lot of different ways to do that. So good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think we're up to our picks or tips of the week. And Sally, you know, ladies first.
I'm all in with a great pick this week because I was super excited to get The Ultimate Guide to Easily Make Instructional Videos. And I bet that title's been thrown around a few times on a few different blogs, right. And a lot of people think they can give you the ultimate guide. But this one comes from my friends at TechSmith, and they are the folks behind Camtasia Studio, which is my go-to video editor. And this truly is an ultimate guide. We could probably spend a whole show just, or several shows even, going through the tips that they provide in this guide. They also have a downloadable PDF version that you can get access to as well. And they kind of walk you through some background information. What is an instructional video? Kind of gives you a chance to think through what you're trying to create, because there's different types of things you could create. They give you common mistakes, and then they have instructions on how to do it, with a screen recording, how to make a training video with your camera if you want, you know, to actually show something you're demonstrating, and then the true cost of making a tutorial training and explainer videos. So very comprehensive and long article, but I liked their section 3, especially where they get into the step-by-steps, because they actually tell you to write your storyboard and script and everything, not just to record on the fly, and then to record your narration first and then your screen separately, so that you can marry those two together nicely and not have to be thinking about more than one thing at once. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you a brief overview of editing in Camtasia Studio and adding introductions and buffer things to your videos as well. So a really good overview of the entire process, and the process isn't all about the software. It's probably the real work is the scripting and the storyboarding, kind of knowing what you're going to do and getting that well rehearsed and, you know, ready for a quality recording and everything. So I think this is a great guide, and we will include a link in the show notes. I'll also throw a link out there to the 30-day free trial of Camtasia Studio. I had someone asked me the other day, I really need to make a video. What can I do it in? And sometimes it might just be easiest to get that 30-day free trial and make it with that. It's fully functional. You can produce the video all the way through. There's no, you know, branding or anything that's included in the free trial. It's just that it doesn't work after 30 days. But they're doing some smart marketing, because once you experience it, if you have more videos to make, you know you're going to want to use their tool, because it's so easy and effective and everything. So, but yeah, if you have a little crunch and you want to get a video made and you want to try out a great editor, you can download their 30-day free trial.
Yeah, that guide is really useful, even if you don't decide to use Camtasia. I think some of the principles that they talk about are really helpful. If you want to use Screencast-O-Matic or, you know, some of those kind of tools, I think the principles still apply.
Definitely.
All right, good pick. Camtasia's kind of a can't-miss pick, so good job. All right, my pick of the week is a Chrome extension, and it is the Google Drive extension. And I can't believe I hadn't had, I think I've had this installed, but never quite understood some of its usefulness until I dug in the other day and said, hey, what is this doing for me? And the killer feature that I found, and the reason that it's my pick, is the ability to take a web page and save it as a image, as a PNG file. So you can always do a screen capture, and all the operating systems do that automatically. But not all of them will do an entire web page. So for instance, if you have to scroll beyond, you know, one screen full, there are tools that'll do this. I think Snagit does this, but this actually is a little bit easier, because all you have to do is go to the page you want to capture. So let's say you want to capture, you know, whatever page that you're on, and it's maybe three screenfuls of scrolling. You simply right-click on the extension, and then you have an option, save to Google Drive. And you can configure this. You can say what kind of save it is. I'm just looking at the options now. You can do the entire page, which is, I think, the default. It saves it as a PNG. You can do an image of the visible page, which is kind of the traditional. You can do HTML, Web Archive, which is that MHT funky format, and then you can save it as a Google document. But saving the entire page as a PNG is, and it does a nice job, too. It'll basically do the entire page, save it in onto your Google Drive in whatever destination folder you select, and then you can just go in and grab it. So you get that functionality for free. And there are a lot of times where you want to just kind of grab the whole page and then you can mark it up or do, you know, put it in a document or do other things with it. So it's kind of worth the price of admission, which is free for sure. That's the Google Drive extension. That's my tip probably or pick of the week.
Well, thanks for that. I learned something new today.
That's yeah, I didn't know that either. So
that's pretty sweet.
Yep. Ministry resource time.
Okay, so I'm going to make a prediction right now. I don't know if we do best ministry resources of the year in our year-end show, but this one
You're
is going to make the list.
You're kind of jazzed about this one.
It might be at the top of the list, so listen up, folks. This is a good one. The URL you're going to want to go to is glideapps.com because Glide is a way to create a mobile app from a Google Sheet. Let that sink in a little. You do a Google spreadsheet, and it turns into a mobile app. Now, who doesn't know how to do a spreadsheet? That's pretty easy. And you connect that spreadsheet to this glideapps.com, and you have a mobile app, and it's a pretty slick-looking mobile app as well. Now, things that you can do in your Google Sheet are include links to images. You can write descriptions and things like that that you want on certain pages. You can also use Markdown language, which is the way of formatting text that's becoming more and more popular in a lot of different places. I personally use it all the time in Trello. So if you've done any Trello work, you're familiar with Markdown already, and you can do that kind of content in the cells of your spreadsheet, and it'll translate into nicely formatted text in your mobile app. So I heard about this app last week, went and gave it a try, and it does say on there in 5 minutes. I did have a mobile app in 5 minutes. I spent a lot longer building it out and finessing it and adding things to it and things, but literally set up a Google Sheet, connected it, and the whole thing is my favorite price tag. It's free. So you can pay for like a better URL and to get rid of their branding and things on the app, but their branding is really not that obtrusive. And the URL you can customize to whatever you're making. So for instance, if we're making an EdTech League thing, I'm not saying we are, but maybe there'll be a mobile app for the summit this summer. then you can use the first part of the URL to indicate whatever you're making your mobile app for, and then it'll just have a Glide Apps domain to finish it out. And I am super pleased with it, and I do expect that you might experience one of these in the near future, especially if you're attending the EdTech Lead Summit. So
cool.
Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the pricing. And just to clarify, when you say mobile app, basically what you get for free is what basically the Wells app is, which is a progressive web app that can be installed. Kind of a website that you can install on your phone. So it really looks, feels, and for all intent and purposes, is a mobile app. But it's not something, at least for free, that you can install or that you can put in a store. So you can put in the App Store or the Google Play Store. Now, they do have a pay-for service, which is actually kind of expensive depending on your need, called the business app plan. And maybe there's even nonprofit pricing. We could probably find that out, where you can put it in the App Store and the Google Play Store. You also get rid of branding and that kind of stuff too. So, but from what I've seen, very slick, apparently very easy to, or fairly easy to put together. And boy, this is a could be a quick win for a lot of folks who just want to get something that's that is truly a mobile app. So cool.
Yep. It's a nice interface. So we'll be talking about Glide app more, I can predict. So
all right.
Excited.
Very good. Thank you. Community feedback.
Yeah, we heard from a couple of people this week that we wanted to make mention of. First, from Pastor Tom Bartell at Rock of Ages in Payson, Arizona. He sent us a message that said, Google invited me to review the app Live Transcribe, which is in development. I could see it would be very useful for visiting shut-in members with severe hearing loss or for members with severe hard of hearing to hold during church. And if they have this app installed, for instance, on a tablet, it transcribes and shows on the screen what the speaker is saying in real time. So they're listening to a sermon but can't quite hear it. They can be reading it on the screen and following that way. And cool. I found a link to it. It is currently just in the Google Play Store, not in iOS as far as I could tell. But if you Google Live Transcribe, there's a place where you can ask to be invited into the beta or whatever because it's not officially released yet. But this is really exciting. There's also a link to an article on The Verge where they kind of show an example of it and talk about it a little bit. So if you want to learn more or try to get in on the beta, we will have some links in the show notes.
That sounds like I'm just trying to install it now. This sounds like really cool stuff. So it's letting me, I think it's letting me install it on my Pixel 2. So let's see. Unreleased will be installed on your device soon. Okay.
So, but if you Google it, and maybe I can find the link and put it out there as well, a place to request to get in on it. You know, you can always request and get it a little sooner, like Pastor Bartell did.
Yep, I'm going to see if this gets installed and then try it out.
Excellent.
Cool.
All right, a couple more to make mention of. I heard from a friend of mine, Steve Winschittle, who's at St. John's in Sleepy Eye, and they were looking to up the ante on their church Facebook page. That's something that many congregations, I'm sure, struggle with, having great content out there and keeping it fresh. And he was asking if Synod had any tools that would be a benefit to them. And the answer is yes, Steve. We have a ton of great content that's released daily or weekly that we have set up RSS feeds to. And you can use those Synod RSS feeds to automate posting that content on your Facebook page. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. Facebook actually has some documentation. I'll include a link for how you can just supply the RSS feed and they'll take it in and post it for you. Or you can use tools like If This Then That to do automated posting based on RSS feeds. So we will include links in the show notes, and we'd love to hear from anyone who's using RSS feeds on your church Facebook page what your experience has been.
Very nice. Thank you, Steve. And then
one more kind of breaking question came in about 5 minutes before we started recording, Martin. It was from Principal Tim Payne. He serves at St. John's in Newburgh, Wisconsin, and he wrote, I continue to see GDPR, the EU General Data Protection Regulation, as the new wave of privacy regulation. Is anyone digging into the current and future impact for our churches and schools? I'm not an expert, and I don't want to be stuck behind the eight ball, but I don't know where to start. And I had a great answer for him because we actually did talk about GDPR and privacy in not just one, but two episodes last fall. And we will include links to those in the show notes. If you didn't listen, it's really wise for you to take the time, pay attention, get it to the top of your priority list. We've got two shows, 569 and 570, getting excited about policies and how private is your data.
And I wrote a blog post back, now it's almost a year ago, which is a great reminder that I should probably release some more articles because we've been really deep into this here in the Synod office. So maybe I'll get that on my agenda here for this spring. But there's a whole section in this blog post. What does that mean for you as a Wells church or school? And I got 8 points. So take a look at that. I think we may have referenced that in these shows. I don't remember whether that coincided with that or not, but take a look at that as well. I'll put that in the show notes.
Thanks for your work on that, Martin. That's not an easy thing to tackle, just like Tim said.
Right, and it's a changing landscape too, so yeah. Video of the week.
Yeah, hearkening back to our ministry resource, we are going to feature overview, maybe 2 minutes long, on how to create your first app with Glide. So check it out, and maybe it'll inspire you to crack open your Google Sheet and give it a try.
And show us, if you do, share with us. That would be awesome. Go to the show notes page and check out all the ways you can get in touch with us. WellsTech.wells.net is where we have all those links, and basically all the discussions, videos, et cetera, are all there. It's fully searchable, and you can connect with us there. So, Sally, we're going to do this. Well, I shouldn't say we. This show will go on next week with you and our good friend Jason Schmidt.
Looking forward to it, Martin. Jason and I will be revisiting the book Faithfully Connected, and we are up to chapter 6. We're actually going to tackle two chapters this week, chapters 6 and 7, Digital Law and Rights and Responsibilities. Should be an interesting discussion, and we'll be thinking of you as you enjoy a nice break from your hectic schedule. Enjoy your vacation.
Taking a week off for spring break here. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to you coming back in 594, and bring a friend. Thanks for being with us. We really do appreciate your ears each week, and share this, and hopefully more and more can benefit from the tech and ministry talk we bring to you each and every week. Bye-bye, everybody.